everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 86 from September the 18th of 1993. For the record, episodes 86, 87, and 88, the next three that we're doing, are all from the same venue. They were actually recorded and filmed on September 13th of 1993, so we're seeing this about 5 days after that. We are live from Garden High School in Oakwood, Virginia. It's a new venue. However, it's just Harper and myself today. Harper,
what's
how
Doc?
You doing, man? I got a text from him this morning. You know how we do this. We record these on the Fridays where we're off. And I had some dipshit tell me, must be nice to have every other Friday off. Well, it is, asshole, when you're working 10 to 12 hours the other Monday through Friday and then the Monday through Thursday each week. So you're actually not getting shit off. You're actually, you know, just working extra hours. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know how it works, Hopper. Must be nice having off and be able to cut podcasts. Well, it's technically not being off. It's just that you've put your hours in, according to the company we work for. But anyway, Doc texted me and said, "Bruh, I just threw up everywhere. Y'all start without me. I'm going to take something and see if I feel better." What did you tell him you needed to do, Hopper?
Put some Tussin on it.
Will Tussin work on vomiting?
Fuck yeah.
All right, I never thought Tussin would work on it. But anyway, so we'll get into this. Well, how you doing this morning, man? What are you missing? Family Matters, Golden Girls, what are you missing?
Golden Girls just ended.
Okay. What usually comes on at the Golden Girls?
Some bullshit.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it is.
Not good, though?
No, fuck no.
That's a nice shirt you scored from Walmart.
I know, huh, bro? Walmart's got some good shit now. Fucking like $7.
I don't know if that's a cheap or expensive cum rag.
Oh, wait, hold on. I got to take this call for real.
Okay, in the middle of the show, while Harper mutes himself, go ahead and take it. I'll get us going. Harper's taking a business call, and I don't have Doc to banter with, so just fly with me here. So we are in Oakwood, Virginia. It's a new venue. You know what that usually means. It usually means Doc is going to provide us with a little bit of details. But since Doc isn't here, let me try to pull up some information on Oakwood, Virginia for you. Anybody out there in Oakwood, Virginia, if I quote anything inaccurate, you know, just let me know. Let's see where we're at. Oakwood, Virginia, Wikipedia. What does Wikipedia say? It's Oakwood is an unincorporated area in Buchanan County, Virginia, located at the intersection of U.S. Route 460 and Secondary Route 624. The Appalachian College of Pharmacy is in Oakwood on the campus of the former Garden High School.
Huh. What?
We're actually in Garden High School. Okay, you're off the call, Harper?
Yeah.
Okay, so did you hear what I said?
It's a pharmacy school?
No. Pharmacy. I wonder what they fucking cooking in there. Hold
on. Yeah, for real, huh? I thought they break it bad type shit.
So, hold on. Oakwood, I'm going to read it again, is an unincorporated area in Buchanan County, Virginia. So
I would like to know, what's the corporate area?
So, in law, an unincorporated area is a region of land that is not governed by a local municipal corporation. Okay. Similarly, an unincorporated community is a region of land that is not governed by its own local municipal corporation, but rather is administered as part of a larger administrative division such as a township, parish, borough, county, city, canton, state, province, or country. This is hilarious. So does that mean that, and again, we're having fun here, it's legal to cook meth at this College of Pharmacy? I don't know. I'm just fucking
I don't think they give a damn.
So What I was saying was the Appalachian College of Pharmacy is in Oakwood on the campus of the former Garden High School. So where this episode is originating from, Garden High School, is now the Appalachian College of Pharmacy. There's your Smoky
That's Mountain. Nice. Oh.
There's your Smoky Mountain Wrestling history lesson of the day. Are you done with your phone call? Everything squared away?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Booty call for later or business?
Business call.
Oh, fuck. That wasn't worth the
shit. I know.
Then.
Shoot job shit.
Oh, fuck. That sucks. All right. We'll keep going here. So since Doc's not here, I'll wait to get a text message to see if his tummy's feeling a little bit better. Actually, I'm not going to make fun of him because one of the things I hate the worst in this world is fucking vomiting.
Huh? Fuck that.
It feels like your anus is coming out of your mouth.
Like as an adult? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it feels like everything in your – it feels like from your fucking toes to your ass is being shot out through your mouth. It's just excruciating, bro.
Yeah, I can't stand it because it kills my knees because I got to fucking get on my goddamn knees and like fuck this shit.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. We're going to get into this show. So, again, this is episode 86. From September 18th, 1993. I want to warn you, I was having some noise issues on Skype, so if the audio is not real clear, that's why on this episode. But we'll proceed. I usually don't play the opening, Hopper, but I think it's important here because some news goes down at the very opening of this show with Dutch and Jim Cornette. So let's go ahead and give the opening of the show a listen right here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I'm Dr. Dutch Mantel, and this is wrestling the way I want it and the way I like it. This is a special edition of Smoky Mountain Wrestling because we got a new sheriff in town, and I would like to introduce right now the newly ordained commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Mr. Jim Cornette.
It's me, I'm the new commissioner, and Bullet Bob Armstrong is unemployed, and so is Bullet Bob Caudle. All those smart aleck remarks Bob Caudle made about me, he's gone, he's out of here, and me and Dutch are running things today. And today on the program, you're going to see highlights of the situation between the Steiner brothers and my heavenly bodies. You're also going to find out more about Bullet Bob and Terry Funk in Knoxville, Tennessee. Just this last weekend, Tracy Smothers is back in action today. The wild-eyed Southern boy, big deal, and Dutch, I know you got a great program on Down and Dirty today.
And on Down and Dirty with Dutch, I'm sorry to say we have new tag team champions here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The Rock and Roll Express are going to be my new... I hate it, Jimmy. I hate it. But I don't know.
Was that before I was commissioner?
Yes, and Jimmy, I think you need to make a lot of changes around here. But before, while you're thinking about that, Jimmy, let's go right now and let's see some highlights of the...
We ought to pick the Beat the Champ name first because I know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You've got this custom-made hat.
Before we get to that, we're going to pick a name out of the hat that I do every week.
Go ahead.
You want me to do it?
I'll hold this for you. Go ahead, Dutch. Who is going to challenge for my man in Beat the Champ?
Robert Gibson will challenge Jimmy
Dutch!
Dale Wade today on Beat the Champ, Jimmy.
Dutch, you know, this ain't working out real good so far today.
But, Jimmy, I have confidence in you. You are a great commissioner. Right now, let's go in here and see some BTR footage of the Bullet and Terry Funk. Watch this.
All right, we'll get to the Bullet and Terry Funk shortly because that's why we're in the situation we're in. But, Harper, what did you have from this promo as we're thrown this new bit of information that Cornette is now the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling?
They get rid of Bob, too?
Bob. Well, I mean, I don't want to let any spoilers out, but I mean, I think most people know he doesn't leave just yet.
Yeah. On the way, I guess he just wanted a vacation or something.
I said the same thing, and I kind of I wish I'd have remembered to ask Cornette this when he was on the show a few weeks back to say.
Call him up.
I actually have his number, but I'm not going to call him. He doesn't even answer his phone. It just goes to voicemail. And if he wants to call you back, he will. If not, he just is like, fuck it, I won't call back. But I wanted to ask him, now that I was rewatching this, I was like, I wanted to ask him if Bob actually did go on a vacation. But this kind of plays out over the next 3 to 4 weeks, so it doesn't take long to see what happens. He's not gone, but it's still kind of funny. They kick poor old Bob Caudle to the curb like, yeah, fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. What else you got from it?
It seems like it's like a new era.
I think
Smoky Mountain is starting to pop up.
you're going to see what – yeah, Doc and I were talking about this. I wish he could have made it today because he had a lot to say about that. It's I think we reached to a point where you're starting to see all kind of just craziness happen week to week. We're going to see more in this episode. You're right there. I thought this was good. You know, we got Corny's the commissioner. How long is this going to last? And as you heard at the end, they're going to throw us right into Bullet Bob versus Terry Funk. Now, when they throw us to the match, it's mid-match. Just lots of shenanigans and interference with this thing. The Bruise Brothers are involved. The Heavenly Bodies, Scott Armstrong, Ricky Morton are out there. They're trying to fight the heels from interfering. Through all of this, Bullet Bob is holding his own against Funk, but Cornette interferes and almost immediately gets his ass handed to him as Cornette flops around the ring as only Corny can do. Harper, do you like when Cornette starts bumping? Because he just flops around like a dead fish when he gets hit.
Yeah, he bumps like a manager.
He does. And it's all, yes. It's
like a cartoon character.
Yeah, it's not like... I mean, and I don't mean to say that it's not crisp. It's to me, it's crisp. He looks like a doofus. Well, he's a manager, so he should. But anyway, long story short, Funk hits Bullet Bob in the back of the neck with the branding iron, and Bullet Bob is knocked out cold. Funk covers Bullet Bob and gets the pin, and that's why we have a new commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which is Jim Cornette, because that was a stipulation. If Funk beat Bullet Bob, Corny would be a commissioner. What else you have from the match, Hopper?
Was this the one way if Bullet Bob lost, everyone got their money back?
No, remember that was the K-Town Showdown. That was a tennis racket match where the lumberjack tennis racket match where if Bullet Bob would have lost that one, everybody would have got their money back.
So has that happened yet?
Yeah, remember we did that one. Yeah, I get confused, too, because we're watching so much wrestling. That happened, two or three episodes ago, I think?
God damn.
I know. Yeah, remember I read that long synopsis of it where the thing with that one was, I forget the date. I could look it up, but I don't have it in front of me. That was K-Town Showdown. I want to say that was like August 20th or some shit, 22nd of 93. But anyway, what happened in that was Bob ended up winning. He actually sent Cornette. Remember, Cornette went to the hospital. That's why we got all those vignettes with Cornette in the...
Oh, yeah.
In the bed. Y'all got to understand, we watch these in chunks. And like, every 2 weeks, we watch two episodes. So, it sometimes will get confusing what we've seen and haven't seen. So, yes. That's where Harper's going. I know that's how I get sometimes, if I don't take real good notes. But anyway, so, no, that actually happened a while back. So... This was like, remember, Cornette was in the bed with the stuffed animals, and he was saying Terry Funk is going to be here. Now, this one just means that Bullet Bob is no longer, it makes Cornette commissioner. But there's another stipulation later that they talk about where it's Bullet Bob versus the Black Ninja, where if that one happens and Bullet Bob loses, Bullet Bob has to leave Smoky Mountain. We're going to get there in over the next two episodes. Harper, anything else from this match that you wanted to cover?
I tell you, man, it's fucking great to see Terry Funk.
Yeah.
If fucking Bob can still go.
And we talked about that all the time. He's an old man, but he can still do it, man. It's,
yeah. Fuck.
He's pretty damn impressive, I must say so myself. That match, it was just kind of like a wild melee, but still,
yeah.
He can do his thing, bro. He definitely can. So after that match, we go to Terry Funk with Jim Cornette. And here is that promo after Funk beat Bullet Bob.
Oh, Terry, I'm so grateful. Thank you. It was worth every penny of my money and every penny that Mama sent you to get this commissioner's cap for me around my head.
You know, I want to tell you people from Tennessee that I am so happy. I am so thankful to the Lord that I was able to come up with that victory because Bob Armstrong, you know, he's got the brains of a jackass and he's got the speaking ability of Stuttering Sam. And I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to do you people in Tennessee all you moronic fools a favor by defeating that imbecile, and that has been and that never was Bob Armstrong. And yes, I am happy, not only for myself, not only for Jim Cornette, but for you out there. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Terry, and let me say,
and thank Terry Funk and Jim Cornette.
And let me just say one more thing to you people out there. Now that I'm running things, Smoky Mountain Wrestling's going to be a little bit different. And Bob Armstrong, you're on your way back to the Jiffy Lube in Marietta, Georgia, where you and your little dysfunctional sons will be working for the rest of your lives. And Terry, I just want to ask one more question. If I ever have any more problems with anybody that try to get in my way when I'm running Smoky Mountain Wrestling, would you be available again for the right price?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Mr. Commissioner. Yes, sir, Mr. Commissioner. Oh, yes, Mr. Commissioner.
You haven't seen the last of me, and you haven't seen the last of Terry Funk. Let's go celebrate. Let's go celebrate.
I love when a heel, like Funk at the beginning, he thanks God. I want to thank the good Lord. What the fuck? You just committed a crime, dude. You hit somebody in the back of the head with a branding iron. And you're thanking Jesus? Right. All in the name of Jesus. It's fine. Harbor, anything from that?
I like when he calls him a fucking jack. He has the brain of a jackass. And the thing is, what's he got against Jiffy Lube, man?
I don't know.
I used to work there. I was in my late teens, early 20s.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What'd you do? Like, change oil.
I was the asshole like in the pit.
Did you really?
Yeah. That was like my first quote unquote real job.
Changing oil in a pit. I bet you that was fun.
Yeah, it was fucking hot as shit.
Dude, I can only imagine a summertime in South Louisiana.
And these assholes would fucking pull in. They've been driving around all day, and the car's hot.
Right.
And that fucking oil's steaming hot coming out.
Dude, how the hell do you change that shit when that oil's hot like that?
Dude, that shit used to piss me off, bro. It's like legit steaming, and it's fucking good, and it's running down your fucking arm and shit, bro. It's like, what the fuck, bro?
That's what I'm saying. How do you change that shit with oil that hot?
It sucked.
God, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to ask how much money you made.
Oh, fuck that. I mean, nothing. It was above minimum wage, but like.
I would hope so. Know?
Yeah, but. I mean, nothing special to say the least.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, fuck that. Okay. I don't know what he's got against Jiffy Lube, man. What else you got from it?
When he cut this promo, it really dragged me in. It really pulled me in. Because you don't normally hear people kind of cuss or say stuff like that when he called him a jackass. He had a brain of a jackass. It's like, damn, man. He's not fucking pulling punches.
He just started it perfect for me because when he said. I want to thank the Lord. It's like, dude, you just committed a crime out there. You hit a man in the back of the head with a branding iron, but in the context of a wrestling match. And then, you're right, he calls him a jack, and then he insults the people of Tennessee. Then pay attention at the end. Funk promises Corny if he's ever needed again, he'll be happy to come to Corny's aid. I can tell you, at least over the next few weeks, you're not really going to see Funk. I'll just leave it at that right now, to that point. But
yeah, and that's a good thing because it leaves you hanging, thinking, "Oh shit, he might be back next week."
Yeah, it's not like a overproduced or over.
Yes.
You know, like I don't want to compare stuff that WWE does, but he kind of just leaves you hanging. And you're like, "Well, what the hell does that mean?" Now, if he ever does come back, you're like, "Oh, remember when he did that?" And now he came back. Oh, okay, and then
yeah.
It's just kind of like a breadcrumb trail that's still there that you ever got to come back to, which I think is, you know, good TV, good wrestling. I mean, it is what it is. All right. So, well, after Funk cuts his promo. We've still got this new commissioner now with Jim Cornette. So Jim and Dutch are now back at the desk, and let's hear what Jim's got to say now on that.
You heard it. Now, listen, do you have any comments?
You know, all these defects out here, they haven't even listened long enough. Bob Armstrong got beat by Terry Funk, and I'm the new commissioner. Right, and there's going to be a lot of changes being made in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You see Bob Caudle no longer here. That's only the beginning. Now, there's a lot of deals that have already been made, a lot of contracts that have already been signed, a lot of political maneuvering to do. I can't change everything overnight, but I guarantee you, while I'm running a show, things will be changed. And one thing I'm going to institute is an IQ test for anybody that comes in this TV taping, and that means most of these people would not have been admitted.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Great comments. But right now, let's see some exciting news about the Big Apple Grapple. Don't go away.
Jesus, the Big Apple Grapple. Okay. Anything from Cornette right there, Harbor?
He says he's going to make them take an IQ test because they're all a bunch of fucking idiots.
You could tell they're in a new venue, too, because those people are hot when he's talking. Mm-hmm. You hear, like, in the background, like, oh. They're cheering when the babyface name is mentioned. They're booing when Cordy's saying something stupid.
Yeah.
It's a hot crowd. You can really tell that they're really into this thing. So I like the IQ test. He's always been insulting them from there. Big Apple Grapple. You got
anything? And he always bite for it, too.
What'd you say?
They always bite, too.
Oh, yeah. They go with it. He sucks them in. Big Apple Grapple. I don't have anything from that. I think we've talked about that, so we'll keep going.
Do we see anything from that?
Trying to remember if they mention anything or we get anything from it. Hold on 1 second. That's a
man, because I worked those little festival shows like that before, and it's
I'm trying to look to see. I don't see any. Hold on, I'm looking at the. I guess I'll call it the record books. Big Apple Grapple. I don't. You know what? Not it. No, because I remember watching ahead. I don't know if they ever really show anything from it. I can tell you it's October 1st, 1993, and I could tell you the results, but I don't remember if they actually play any of this stuff on the TV. Could be wrong. I would need to relook. Maybe they do, though, now that I'm looking at these results. I don't want to give them away, but they may show one or two things from it. There are some similar matches in here from some of the stuff I've seen on the upcoming TV, so it might be from it. It might not. We'll have to see, but it's October 1st, 93. So. It's at a festival, but it's at the... I don't know. Well, was it in the? It doesn't say whether it was in the high school gym or not. It's in Paintsville High School, but it doesn't tell us if it's at the gym.
Okay, yeah, because if it's outside, man, those shows suck, bro.
Dude, I hate those outdoors.
Those like county fair bullshit, bro.
Yes.
Those shows, it's so weird, like walking to the rink because you just walk out some fucking miscellaneous building that's like far away.
I did one at Banner Chevrolet on Chevrolet. Ah! Chris Adams was there. This is early 2000s, maybe late 90s. One of the two, obviously. And Jesus Christ. They had us dressing in the used car lot sales person's trailer.
Yeah.
They had a trailer that they usually work out of, and we're in the fucking trailer getting dressed, and we got to walk all the way on this hot blacktop car lot that they had emptied, I guess, some kind of way to the rent. It was dumb. All of 75 people there, and people honking as they come down Chef Highway. Because they see this ring just sitting there. It's like, what the hell is going on? So, yes, I know what you mean. Festivals outside. And that wasn't a festival. That was just some deal that Banner showed up.
They had a crowd?
There was about 70 people out there. It wasn't like a lot. I mean, you know how those things are. If it was at a festival, there would have been more people.
Yes.
But it's just some random car lot in the middle of the hood. I mean, how many people are you know what I'm saying?
That's the one across from the post office.
That sounds about right. Once you come over the bridge, the Chef Bridge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Right there. Banner Chevrolet. I mean, it's in the middle of the ghetto.
Yeah.
It's a classy location, you know? Fuck. I don't even know if Banner Chevrolet is still there. I'm saying it
was there.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, there you go. Banner Chevrolet. Got a free plug there for you in New Orleans, Louisiana. If you still sell cars, I wouldn't recommend going buy one from there. But anyway, let's keep going. Okay. Jim Cornette is going to cut a – this is a series of promos. We talked about the Steiners, I think, last episode, maybe before that. But anyway, the Steiners, here it is. We're entering in an era where the Steiners are going to be seen on Smoky Mountain Wrestling television for a little time. So Cornette, before sending it over to a Steiners match – and the Heavenly Bodies attacking the Steiners in the WWF, not Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Jim Cornette cuts a short promo. Here it is.
Well, hello, all you P-brains, and welcome back to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the new improved Jim Cornette style. And before I bring the Heavenly Bodies out here, you know, everybody remembers that the World Wrestling Federation big SummerSlam pay-per-view, the Heavenly Bodies challenged the Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott, for the World Wrestling Federation tag team title. Now, things didn't go quite our way, but of course it was a hometown advantage, a hometown decision, and a lot of screwy things going on with the officials. But we didn't sit back. We didn't let it rest. We didn't let it lie there. No, we invaded another big World Wrestling Federation taping, and we showed the Steiner brothers exactly what happens when you cross the Heavenly Bodies. I want you to take a look at that piece of videotape, and then I'm going to talk to the doctor and the gigolo.
All right, so I stopped it there because they throw it to the match with the, or not the match. It's not actually a match with them. It's the Heavenly Bodies come out and attack the Steiners after the Steiners had just had a match. Harper, what? That's kind of surreal seeing the Heavenly Bodies.
Yeah, no, huh? Dude, Smoky Mountain Wrestling's doing some fucking major shit.
At this point, they've worked with the biggest organizations in the country.
Yeah. Like, they worked with the biggest wrestling promotion on the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're doing. Yeah.
They come out. They jump the Steiners on WWF TV. They leave them laying, and then they steal their belts from them. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the Smoky Mountain folks watching WWF TV at that time and being like,
wait, what the hell?
What did I just watch? Now, he's talked about this on previous episodes. He's mentioned a possible working with WWF, if you recall.
Yeah.
But this is the first time you actually see the Bodies in WWF.
I mean, could you imagine watching that now? There's like, you know, Wildcat guys running in there attacking, you know, the tag team champions, and they run off with the belt or something.
That, and imagine any, well, yeah, if that would be crazy. Or like Impact. Somebody just runs out from Impact Wrestling and attacks, who's the tag team champs right now? Oh, Cesaro and Sheamus. And attack those two and leave them laying and run out with the belts. Like, the wrestling world would be like, what the fuck did I just see?
Mm-hmm.
So this was like, you know, this is pretty damn major for that to happen at that time, man. It's just, this is some crazy stuff, and you know, we'll see where it goes. But I'm gonna play the next promo after this. You know, the Heavenly Bodies leave them laying, and this is another example of someone scoring without the ball. I'm gonna play this promo, and if you are watching along with us, Jimmy Del Rey is a fucking goofball. He's ridiculous. During this promo, if you just watch him. So let's listen up. This is Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies after stealing the Steiners World Wrestling Federation belts and attacking them on TV.
Now there's the guys that everybody says are the greatest, the biggest, the baddest, roughest, toughest tag team in wrestling, the big World Wrestling Federation superstars, and here's the couple of guys that laid them out on their face, making them eat canvas and eat dirt. Rick and Scott Steiner, and that's what you are, is dirt. And that's what the whole state of Michigan is. That's what the World Wrestling Federation is. That's what anybody is that ain't associated with Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. You see, that's what happens to somebody when they cross us. We always get our way. And guys, I know that you enjoyed every single whack, every single punch, and every single kick on the big time Steiner brothers.
The fact of the matter is, you don't cross the heavenly bodies in Jim Cornette and walk away from it. We showed you guys that if you had any guts, you would have signed another match immediately. But we took it upon ourselves to show you who the real world tag team champions are. We left them laying. Yeah. We left them laying.
And as a matter of fact, it took so much out of them. It took so much out of them. The beating that they sustained at the hands of the heavenly bodies, the very next time they stepped in the ring, they lost their world tag team title belts. They lost the World Wrestling Federation title thanks to the heavenly bodies, and you think that don't prey on their mind? As a matter of fact, I understand they're doing a little whining and crying on videotape. Take a look at the dog-faced gremlin and his dog-faced brother.
I don't know if you remember watching Del Rey during that promo, but he's wiggling and jiggling the whole time and making stupid gestures. He's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did you have anything from this?
Yeah, that's crazy. I still can't get over how they bring in like legit WWE guys that are currently there. I mean, it's not like former WWE superstar. These guys are still there.
Yeah, they entered into an agreement with him, who's widely known, actually. Not widely known at the time, but if you read like any of the dirt sheets and reports,
yeah.
He entered into an agreement with them, and this is just the first of many.
I mean, that had to be a big fucking draw back then.
I would think so. I've heard people criticize towns. It.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, people have criticized it because, like, they say, well, you bring in them and they come in and they go over on your guys. What does that say for your talent? I don't know if I so much buy into that. I mean, I agree, you can't bury your talent, but I don't know if their talent gets buried when, at least not in like this one with the Steiners. I think it's a healthy spotlight for your promotion when you can get, like, for example. And we're not talking enhancement talent matches. I mean, we're talking, let's say you and Luke showed up on WWE TV tomorrow and had a competitive match. Or maybe not you. Let's say Jay Spade and Matt Lancey showed up and have a competitive match or attack the WWE champions. And then those same champions come to Wildcat and they beat you in a competitive match, not a squash match. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It just means you got beat. So there were people who criticized like the WWF talent coming in and defeating the Smoky Mountain Wrestling talent. But I still think you want the rub from that huge organization, in my opinion.
Yes. Because I mean this just proves you're not just some little fucking shithead fucking, you know, turd. Indie promotion. You're right. Some little bullshit promotion.
Yeah. So it puts a spotlight on you, and even in a loss, I mean, you were on national television, whereas right now you're on regionally.
Yes.
So I agree with you. You know, in that assessment of, man, this is a big deal, and you know, it should draw some fans.
I mean, this is a real big fucking deal. Even if the Steiner brothers weren't in a WWE, it's the fucking Steiner brothers.
Well, the fact that they were recent WWF champions at this point and had just lost after they faced you is a really, really big deal. I mean, they're now coming to your promotion to do some business. Well, speaking of the Steiners, the next series in this is the Steiners now responding to the Cornette beatdown on WWF television and then the Heavenly Bodies promo. So here is a Steiner Brothers promo airing on Smoky Mountain Wrestling Television.
Heavenly Bodies, you came to Detroit in SummerSlam, and we did what we said we were going to do, beat you like dogs. But you guys went one step further, put powder in my eyes. And Jim Cornette, you hit me with that racket, and I still have welts. Well, I'm coming down, and my brother and I are coming down Smoky Mountain. We're coming to your backyard, and we're going to do what we do best, beat people up. I tell you what, come down to the dog park, get in the pit, and find out what a couple of real dogs can do. And I guarantee you what, Cornette, we're going to bring a special little friend of ours, Arnold. We'll see what a real manager's really like.
So they're obviously not in Smoky Mountain. They're probably somewhere in a cutting this at the WWF headquarters. I'm going to say headquarters, but maybe backstage, and they send the tape there. But here you go. Now you actually have them cutting a promo that's airing on Smoky Mountain Wrestling Television, the now former WWF champs at this point, but still airing on Smoky Mountain TV.
Didn't that sound like the Road Warriors?
Not Scott, but Rick.
No?
Probably. I could see why you'd say that about Rick.
Yeah.
You mean when you listen to it and don't actually see it. Yeah.
Right.
I see where the comparison is. They obviously, if you're watching it, but if you just hear the audio of it, you can see why the comparison is being made.
Yeah.
I do. Anything else from that one, Harper?
Fuck, dude, they're coming, bro.
They are coming.
They're going to fuck them up, man.
Yeah.
Well, who took the belts from them?
Who did take the belts from them?
It was probably the Canadians or something, huh?
Well, let's look. WWF Tag Team.
Or whatever, the Mountie.
Championship. I don't remember. History.
Because by 93, I was watching Beavis and Butthead trying to get drunk late and shit.
By 93, I was on the back end of my junior year in high school, going into my senior. Oh, I am in my senior year in high school at this point, now that I think about it, because this is September. So I'm going to sit there and say I was searching for a piece of snatch, snatch as well. Let's see. What do we have here? 93. Where are we at? Hold on. Let me get this. Wow, you hit it, Harper. The Steiner brothers, they won them on June 19th, 1993. They held them for 86 days. They lost the belts to the Quebecers.
Okay, yeah.
On September 13th, 1993. You fucking Pierre and Jacques or Jacques.
I'll take it. The top two heel tag teams was them or DiBiase and IRS
right
at that time. Yeah.
And DiBiase and IRS, that's who the Steiners won it from.
Okay.
So they actually, there was a series. They traded the belts two different times. In October of 92, DiBiase and IRS won the belts from the Natural Disasters. The Steiners then won it on June 14th of 93. From DiBiase and Irwin Shyster. And then the Steiners lost it June 16th of 93 to the same team, Money Inc. And then the Steiners won it back on June 19th of 93 from Money Inc. And then they lost it to the Quebecers. So, yeah, you nailed it. God damn, man. You remember
I know,
that?
Huh?
Fuck, how the hell you remember that?
That's how I roll, bro.
Okay. Well, you wasn't chasing too much ass if you remember that shit.
Dude, yeah. I still have an old WWE magazine sitting around somewhere. It has Razor on a cover, and they talk about Smoky Mountain Wrestling coming in.
I think I've seen the inside of that.
It looks kind of black and white. It looks like an old Western kind of font.
Somebody sent me that on Twitter a while back. I think I've seen that.
I got that sitting around. It has like Candido in it and the Heavenly Bodies and shit.
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't have the issue. Like I said, somebody sent it to me either on Twitter or Facebook, and I remember seeing that. That's a big deal, man. Again,
yeah.
We're saying it over and over, but it's like pretty much a huge deal that they're coming in. So let's keep going. We got now... To end this series of promos and what we've seen from these two, Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, they continue after we hear from the Steiners, and here is that segment.
You know, let me just explain something to you Steiner brothers. I want you to listen good and listen careful, Rick and Scott Steiner. I had a few dealings with you back in Atlanta in World Championship Wrestling, and every time you ended up on the raw end of the deal. And now I've got the greatest tag team combination that I've ever managed, that I've ever signed, ever put together. and we left you laying. We caused you to lose your belts. We caused you embarrassment. We humiliated you in front of all your World Wrestling Federation cronies. And now you think you're going to come down here to Smoky Mountain Wrestling in our backyard where anything can happen and you're going to get something over on us? Let me explain something to you two idiots. And I want you to listen real close. I know you're not too bright because I know up there at the University of Michigan, they push all those athletes through school even though they can't spell cat if you spotted them the K. Rick and Scott Steiner, these guys have your number. They always have had and they always will have. And this ain't the World Wrestling Federation. There ain't a lot of rules and doctors at ringside and things to make it easy on you and guys carrying ice cream bars around. Anything can happen at Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and everything in that Coliseum might end up in the ring that ain't nailed down. So at the Parade of Champions, you bring yourself on down, and you see if you can handle the heavenly bodies. But as the tape that I showed earlier indicates, I don't think you can in the kind of fight that we can put up right here in our backyard. And the only thing that I'm upset about, they're bringing this pit bull, that stinking rabid flea-bitten dog Arnold, and they're going to put him at ringside trying to keep an eye on me. I know what they want to do. They want him to bite me so I'll catch something after get shots in my stomach and all that stuff. Jimmy, don't
worry about it, Jimmy. I've got a secret weapon waiting for that dog of theirs, that little mangy mutt.
Yeah.
As soon as he gets here, I got the dog catcher taking him right down to the pound.
Yeah, take him down to the dog pound and get him gassed. That's exactly right. That's what's going to happen to Arnold Steiner, brothers, and that's what's going to happen to you at the Parade of Champions. Now, guys, you go on back there and dream of some more ways that we can take the Steiner brothers out, and we'll be right back.
What? Have you seen Ron?
Right?
Have you seen Ron
Wright?
Yeah, Ron Wright.
No, I haven't seen Ron Wright.
Oh, man, he was supposed to. I haven't seen him for 3 days. I've been looking every way he's supposed to meet me here. I hadn't seen him for 3 days. I don't know where in the world he's at, Jim.
He's not my manager. Well, I'm sorry.
Well,
I don't know
that, but he's supposed to be. He's an invalid. The man's in a wheelchair. He's like be laying in a ditch someplace right now just dying. You got to help. I got to find Ron.
Well,
you
know, all right, hold on. Let me do this. You know, I'm doing everything around here since I'm a commissioner now. Hold on. We'll be right back. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. Stay there. I know you ain't got any better place to go, and I'll try to help White Boy find Ron.
Yeah, come on, please. You got to help find Ron.
Imagine if they had somebody named Dirty White Boy in wrestling today. Everybody would be calling, complaining, or tweeting, complaining. Anyway.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, agree. What did you have from that?
Is this the promo when they're like doing the kind of there's we call it like a mime, and he's like calling a fucking dog over, like he's like,
yeah,
and he like kicks it. That's fucking great.
It's real classy.
Now, if you did that now, people probably would fucking get on Twitter and be fucking bitches about it.
They get bitches about everything, dude.
I know, huh?
I'm trying to see. I'm watching it back now to see if this is the one. I don't remember if it's this one or another one, but... Yeah, people would bitch because you're imitating. And look, I'm a dog lover. I'm an animal lover. I don't condone, you know, whipping and beating a dog, or any animal for that fact. I'm not a hunter. None of that stuff. But you know, not that hunting is wrong. I completely, you know, let me make that straight. If you're hunting and eating the food that you kill, good for you. You know, I understand there's people who do that in the right way. But no, you can't act like you're killing a dog on TV today. Somebody would complain on Twitter.
People are made out of wet cardboard now.
Dude, it's the worst. You know, people getting sand in their vagina. Men just, getting sand in their vagina. God.
I know, huh?
We won't say any names there, but let's keep going. So what else did you have from this one?
Bro, let's see. What the fuck? Yeah, fucking Arnold, dude. I want to see Arnold.
Bro, wait till you see it. Wait till you see that fucking pit bull they bring with them to ringside.
Do they bring this dog out with them on... WWE, because I don't remember them having a dog.
Me neither. That's why I was like, now again, I've said this many times. I was checked out of watching wrestling consistently at this point.
Yes.
Like I would watch, but if I miss 3 weeks, I miss. If I watch,
right.
And then I see a week. Oh, okay. And I watch that week, and then I miss 3-4 weeks, and I watch a week. So like, I was I was checked out, bro. I mean, at full disclosure, so I don't really 100% remember. I just don't. I don't 100% remember this stuff. So I don't remember them coming out with a dog, though, in WWF. Somebody out there will correct us if we're wrong. But they bring Arnold into Smoky Mountain, and just wait till you see it.
The dog's
at ringside. I'm waiting for that dog to bite somebody and give somebody rabies. I'm serious, man. That's how crazy it was.
It's a big-ass jacked-up fucking pit bull.
He ain't jacked up, but he looks aggressive. And it's a dog, so how much can you control it? Because, like, you can – there's a few times during that match where, like, the Steiners are like, get him. And if you tell your dog that to someone, the dog doesn't understand sarcasm.
Right.
I mean, I had boxers back in the day, and they're as friendly as can be. But if I told – especially my female boxer when I had her. If I told her, get him – She wouldn't run to bite, but she would get it. She would run and kind of like think that enough to scare the shit out of the person is what I'm saying. If you came to the door and I said get him, because they think they're protecting you. They think they're you're their owner. You'll see it when Arnold comes out. It's some crazy shit when Arnold's out there. I laughed. I popped that during that match because they do show it. Did you catch the digs at the WWF there about the doctors at ringside and the ice cream bars being sold?
Yes.
I thought that was great. I thought that was great.
If they don't have doctors are selling fucking ice cream, fuck you. Anything can happen here.
That's right. all right. So then White Boy at the end, he can't find Ron Wright. I still find that funny. But that's a story that is definitely going to develop over the few weeks. So there's a lot going on. Steiner Brothers, White Boy is looking for Ron Wright and so much more. Now, Harper, I'm going to skip the local promo because Tammy gives something away right there that I want to save for later in the show. So I'll try to come back to it. Dutch, after we go from that local promo that we just skipped, Dutch and Jim Cornette throw us to the Bruise Brothers versus the Rock and Roll. We only saw about a minute or two from the match, but we see the Rock and Roll hit the double drop kick and Gibson covers one of the Bruise Brothers for the win. And we have new Smoky Mountain Wrestling tag team champions. Did you have anything from that match?
This is when they, no,
that's when they beat the Bruise Brothers for the belts.
Right. And then fucking Cornette's pissed off at him.
Yeah, I think the Rock and Roll's hair was on the line. That's the one.
Oh, okay.
I think. I'm trying to remember, but I think.
Because they don't fucking get, you know, they still got their hair.
Right. So they win, and now they're champs. And this actually, again, more stuff being set into motion. Listen to Jim Cornette here and Dutch as they now interview the Bruise Brothers following the Bruise Brothers' loss to the Rock and Roll Express.
Joining me here at the set, Jim Cornette and the Bruise Brothers. Jimmy, you have some comments about this situation.
Yeah, exactly, do. You see, the Rock and Roll Express, of all people, to win the belts right in the middle of my most successful week ever, guys, you let me down. You let the team down. And you realize that you've been spending too much time since I was laid up listening to Kevin Sullivan and not enough time paying attention to what I told you and taking care of business. So what you need to do is you need to pay more attention. You need to get your stuff together. I'm going to send the Heavenly Bodies after the Rock and Roll Express because they're a proven commodity. And you guys are on double secret probation. I'm going to let you know that right now. And if there's no further action of this type, then you'll be back in good standing with the organization. But you just got to remember, you got to keep your mind where your business is. And you got to listen to what I say. No more black marks on the record, guys. Okay, that's it. And we'll leave it at that for now. Sorry. All right, let's go to the ring.
Since I know what happens with this, I guess I want to get your thoughts, having not watched ahead.
What's double secret probation?
Code word for I'm fucking firing you if this shit keeps up.
Yeah.
Would be my thoughts on it.
I mean, it's not a secret. We all know about it if we're sitting here watching it.
That's true, too. He basically put him on notice and told him, you lose again, your ass is out of here. Fuck you.
Oh, and where's Sullivan at?
Yeah, Sullivan's not with them, huh? And he was with them before. That's a good question. I guess we'll have to wait
and
see.
What the fuck?
Well, remember, we're getting into late 93 now, and I talked about this a few months back.
Yeah.
Sullivan, he's not gone, I will tell you that. He's not gone. At least I don't think he was gone. I'm pretty sure he's not gone. Shit, of course I can't remember right now, but I'm pretty sure he's not gone. Hold on, let me look at something.
Yeah, now, he ain't.
Let me see. Oh shit! Hold on. That's a good question. Wait. Nah, he's not gone. That's right. All right, I won't give anything else away. He's not gone though.
So yeah, because I keep waiting for him to fucking leave, and that's I keep waiting for the Bruce brothers to leave and shit. And fucking Dutch to leave.
We still got a little while with Dutch. If you remember from last time we did I think it was the last episode we talked about it. Doc gave it away with his sick ass at home.
What the fuck?
Right now. Suck it up, man. Be a fucking man. Stop being a snowflake, Doc. I know he's listening to this, so, you know. He marks out for it. Every Monday when they drop, he downloads, or Sunday night when they drop, he listens to them the next day at work. He goes back and listens to himself.
Wow.
Every single time. Every single time.
That's like jerking off to a picture of yourself.
Oh, boy. All right. We will keep going. So, after that promo, we got the Baby Bonnet rematch. We got Robbie Eagle versus Chris Candido. Cornette is on commentary. Candido comes to the ring, and of course, he's wearing the Baby Bonnet since he lost to Robbie Eagle last week. I don't have much for the match. Do you have anything before I proceed to the finish of this and how Candido loses to keep the Baby Bonnet on his head?
No, let's go to the finish.
All right, here's the finish. I'm going to play it. Listen to this.
Wait a minute.
Hold
what
on.
Is this?
Suicide Blonde is going for the Suicide Plex, but what is Tim Horner doing at ringside? He's wearing...
Now this is uncalled for. This is uncalled for, Jimmy.
Wait a minute. Candido gets the Suicide Plex on Robbie Eagle, but there's Tim Horner wearing Chris Candido's title belt and his feather boa.
Now, I'm sure he's out here strictly to interfere in this match. I think he needs to be fine, Jimmy.
Candido's chasing Horner around the ring. It's Keystone Cops. Well, Candido's blowed up almost, but there he comes after him again. What in the world? Wait a minute. The referee's counting, Dutch.
Wait a minute. What is it? No! He counted Candido out. Candido does not get the win. The Bonnet stays on. Robbie Eagle, the victor here by a count out. That means Chris Candido does not get to take the Bonnet off. And due to Tim Horner's decision, Jimmy, he's an investigative working with this one.
That shit popped the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on how Candido loses there?
Good job, Robbie Eagle.
No, Tim Horner. You ought to tell him good job.
Well, I mean, fuck, Robbie Eagle's getting some fucking victories, man.
Yeah, he is. It's too straight.
Yeah.
Even though it's DQ, it is too straight. Yeah, he's rolling. Oh, boy, I thought this was great. And credit Candido for selling it, too, when he loses.
Yeah.
He gets back in the ring, he starts hopping up and down and throwing a fit like a baby because he's wearing a Baby Bonnet. Really, really good stuff there.
He does look like a fucking idiot with that Baby Bonnet on.
How stupid does he look? He looks so stupid. Well, the funny part is, so right after that, they, you know, again, Candido has lost two straight. Now he's still got the Baby Bonnet on. I got to give Tim Horner some credit here. I don't know if he came up with this finish, but if he did, and it wasn't, you know, Corny that came up with it, the fact that Tim comes out with the feather boa that Candido normally wears and Candido's belt and makes Candido chase him around the ring because he's mad and he's a heel. I like that because it shows that the face outsmarted the stupid heel. So I thought
that's
that
right. He is smart.
Yeah, he is. So there you go. We put over Tim Horner there. Let's keep going. Here's a Chris Candido promo after losing, and now he's got to keep wearing the Baby Bonnet.
Suicide Blonde, come on in here. Chris, I can't.
You're the commissioner, do something. He stole my 2 weeks in a row. This happened to me. I don't gotta wear this. I'm from Jersey, for Christ's sake. Can't you help me?
Chris, I'm gonna do everything in my power to make sure that you don't ever have to wear this any longer than absolutely necessary. Oh, don't cry. I mean, he's not crying, fans. He's not crying.
Go on
back and I'll take care of everything.
Thank you.
Let's go to a commercial.
Okay, we'll be right back, fans.
Like,
stay tuned.
I thought Candido did a good job of putting that over there. Being
yeah, man. Yeah, he does. He's definitely come a long way.
Very long way. Just like Tammy, man. They've both progressed so well. I mean, you heard it. I really can't add much to it. What else you got?
Yeah. He's not crying.
Yes, he
okay?
is.
No, he's not. He's not crying, people.
He's clearly throwing a fit. He you got to credit him. He made an ass of himself right there and put
yes.
the whole baby bonnet thing over. He did exactly what you want a heel to do. And those fucking people, did you see them go nuts when he stupidly chased Horner around the ring and got himself counted out?
When they first started this gimmick, I was like, man, this is fucking stupid. I mean, they're not going to, respond to this. But once again, they fucking proved me wrong of fucking how stupid they are.
They responded.
Yeah.
They were like, cool, yeah, this is good. Yeah, I really enjoyed this. This was some good stuff, man. This was some really, really good stuff. And it's not over. That's the funny part.
Right.
With the baby bonnet. It's not over. We got more to come from it. So if you think that was it, no. You heard Cornette there. He says he's going to do something about it, and we'll see what that is. So after that, though, it's time for some Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantel. And Dutch is welcoming in the Rock and Roll Express, the newly crowned Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions, Rock and Roll Express, who beat the Bruise Brothers. And here that is.
Everybody, welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dr. Dutch Mantel, and you're not. Right now, my special guest on Down and Dirty, right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the newly acquired Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champions, the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson. I have to say, it was a long uphill battle. You climbed the mountain, but now the question remains is, how long do you think, Ricky, you can hang on to these belts?
Well, Dutch, first of all, I'd like to say a little something. You know, since Jimmy Cornette took over being commissioner, I see you got your nice tuxedo on. Hadn't changed your style a bit, has he? What's that brown on your nose there, Dutch? But let me tell you one thing. Now, the Bruise Brothers, we have wrestled many tag teams across the country. And I got to say, my hat is off to them because they are one of the toughest tag teams that Robert and I has ever faced. But when your back's against the wall and you got something to fight for, Dutch Mantel, this right here is what you get. I'm talking, we proved one more time that we were the better tag team. All right? Now, it's a little something that happened, though, I feel kind of bad about. And if Scott Armstrong's in the back, Scott, if you're watching, I want you to come out here for a minute because, you see, these guys had title matches with the Bruise Brothers. All right. To me, they are one of the number one contenders in the world, bar none. So I'd like for Scott to come up here and ring for a second. Here he comes.
Well, we're being joined at ringside, fans, by Scott Armstrong at the request of Ricky Morton. Ricky, he's out here now.
You had a match signed with the Bruise Brothers.
Right.
So, Robert and I, we got to talk about all the things that you helped us do, we helped you do. We think that you guys should be the number one contenders to get the first title shot at the belts.
All right? I appreciate that. You know, Dutch, the day after they won the titles, everybody knew that Steve and myself had title shots against the Bruise Brothers. And the day before we were supposed to have our first title shot, lo and behold, the Rock and Roll Express won the belts. And I'm happy for them. I'm tickled to death that they won. If Steve and myself couldn't have them, I'd just soon these boys have them. But I want to say one thing. We got some matches upcoming, and I appreciate you guys giving us the title shot. Scott and Steve Armstrong will be more than happy to accept it. Thank you very
All right,
much.
Scott, we appreciate
Wait a minute. Before you guys go.
Wait a minute. I'm not through yet, okay? Let me say something. I know Jimmy Cornette's watching you try to get your job over. But let me tell you one thing, Scott. After all's over in the ring, I hope that we can walk out of the ring shaking hands and make the best team win, and I hope it's me and Robert. All right.
I can appreciate that, and those belts sure are pretty, and I hope it's me and Steve, but I can appreciate it.
Okay, so you guys saying you're going to wrestle a clean match back and forth, a scientific encounter? Is that what you're saying?
What do you think, Dutch?
He's saying we ain't got to worry about Cornette and anybody else jumping in.
That's right. Okay, that's what you're saying, right?
That's what we're saying.
Oh, come on, guys. Don't give me that. If these belts are worth fighting for, you're not going to just go out there and wrestle scientifically. I'm not going to believe that.
Well, Dutch, some people don't think like you. See, your opinion's like my behind. Everybody's got one, all right?
There you heard it, fans. Don't go away. We'll be back in 120 seconds.
Okay. Harper, what did you think about that?
You know, two class acts. They're going to call it right down the line.
Yeah, just wait.
You know what I love is that fucking tuxedo looks so shitty on him. It looks so horrible. I'm thinking it can't be like a real tuxedo, right? It's just like some shit that got a Goodwill. And then at the end of this episode, I think it's this one, it says tuxedo provided by such and such tuxedo rentals. And I'm like, it was a real tuxedo.
Did you Google the place?
No, I did not Google it.
Oh, shit. Give me a second. Hold on. All right. Dutch Mantel's tuxedo courtesy of Mitchell's Formal Wear. Actually, hey. Mitchell's is like a chain place. So.
Oh, yeah. That's like a corporate business.
Yeah. I just fast-forwarded to the very end. Dutch Mantel's tuxedo courtesy of Mitchell's Formal Wear. So, Harper, I think you might need to retract that statement. That is a legit tuxedo from Mitchell's Formal Wear. So there you go. What else did you have from it?
It just, you know, everything's nice and fine, and they're just two good, you know, classy, straight-up tag teams, and they're going to call her right down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we'll see about that.
Yeah. So,
okay. Jesus
nothing
Christ.
To see here.
Nothing to see here. There you go. I Ricky's been kind of, Morton's been kind of throwing out all those taglines and all that, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All along. I like the fact we didn't really get none of that here. It was like he was just shooting from the hip. You know, he asked Dutch what that brown was on his nose. I thought that was good. And then you see at the end, he was like, look, I know you're trying to get yourself over because of Jimmy Cornette. I thought that was great. Like he said, you're trying to impress Cornette back there and get yourself over. I like the fact that, you know, it was a different promo. And, you know, no catchphrases or tagline, so to say. Is what I'm getting at. So that was the good stuff here. But anyway, so we go from that, and we'll see what happens with the Rock and Roll and the Armstrongs too. Gator McAllister versus Tracy Smothers. This was very quick. Smothers beats him with a jawjacker and wins a quick one as Cornette runs away from the commentary booth because Smothers is on his way to it, and I guess he has been talking shit about Smothers the whole time. Corny definitely doesn't want to be right there. Harper, any thoughts on that quick match? It was real quick.
He's from Marsh Island.
Yeah, I saw that. I
used to have a fishing camp there.
Did you really?
No.
Okay. I thought you were telling the truth. It's like, okay. Yeah, Marsh Island. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So we go from that. It's Tracy Smothers now, and we got a promo from him and a big announcement. And here that is.
Well, here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Tracy Smothers returning back to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And Tracy, I got one question to ask for you. I am an objective journalist. I'm looking very sharp today because we do have a new commissioner. But let me ask you one thing. How is your knee?
My knee's holding up real good, and it feels great to be back in the South. My pa always told me, Dutch Mantel, he said, if you want to fight and catch a snake, you get a mongoose. And I got the meanest mongoose around that all the people know. Sensational Sherry Martel is coming to Smoky Mountain Wrestling to be in my corner. Tammy Witch, she's forgot more dirty tricks than you'll ever know. And she's got a few choice words for you in prima donna prime time. I think we got to interview her.
Okay, let's listen to that right now.
Of all the things I've ever been so excited about in my life is coming Sherry. To the Parade of Champions. And yes, I got a telephone call from that wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers, telling me that he was having a little problem with a little Mr. Brian Lee and the little bit. Witch that he has hanging out with him calling Miss Tammy Fitch. Well, I tell you what, Miss Fitch, there's not another woman in the world that loves to get in trouble as much as I do. There's not another woman in the world that would love to stand by side of wild-eyed Southern boy as much as I would. So I'll tell you what, Miss Fitch, You set your little rump right there at ringside. You dress in all your little pretty clothes. But remember one thing, I invented mean. And there's nothing that I won't do to stand by my friend in need.
Well, there you heard it, fan. Sensational Sherry Martel with some choice words for primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitz. Tracy, what do you got to say about it?
I know one thing for a fact. That sensational Sherry, she's never been a loss for words, and she's doggone sure going to protect her wild-eyed Southern boy. Now, a lot of people's come to me, and they said, Trace, what are you going to do, man? This white boy's coming in. This white boy's interfering on your matches. Dirty white boy, I haven't forgot about you. I'll get to you later. Brian Lee, you've got the belt that I own, that I never really lost. It always did take two of you to whip one on me. I know Sensational Sherry's going to hold up her part, and she's going to beat that Tammy Fitch to a bloody pulp, and she doggone sure deserves it. Brian, it's me and you. Pretty boy, prima donna, all the nicknames you got, all the talking, all the trash you do. I'm looking right in this camera. I'm not going east. I'm not going west. I'm coming north and south. And by the good grace of God, with Sensational Sherry in my corner, I'm going to be the next Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion for a third time.
Okay, fans, don't go away. We'll be right back with more exciting Smoky Mountain wrestling action. Stay tuned.
Well, thoughts on Sensational Sherry Harper?
Another WWE superstar, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. She's not the Steiners, but I think at this point, she just left for managing Shawn Michaels, I think.
Dude, you got a better memory for this shit than me.
Yeah, she managed Shawn Michaels when he first turned heel.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, she actually sang on his entrance music. That's her voice.
I didn't think I knew that. Okay.
Yeah, and then they eventually changed it to where it was him.
Oh, okay. I got you. So, like, the original, you mean?
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is. I mean, she's another draw for this promotion.
Huge draw.
Yeah. She's a huge freaking.
This is a big deal, man. I mean, now Sherry is coming in, and it's just, you know, just another thing, another person that's going to come in and do their thing now.
She's a rough broad. And fucking Tammy is this cute little, you know, fucking innocent chick that's just a little prissy preppy broad. And then, here comes Sherry, who fucking looks rough. Like she could kick the shit out of fucking Brian Lee's ass.
Bruh. It's like, and it's what's crazy is she comes in and she's going to be the baby face. Is
right.
Rough and tough as she is as a heel, she's like, I'm going to whip that little bitch into shape. It's so crazy, like, you know, and being that Smothers is so loved there, he comes in right. And he's like, shh, I got something for you. And Sherry is amped. She's ready for a fight.
And he talks about all these great little Southern belles and how they're so sweet and they're so nice. And here comes Sherry. She looked like she was, it fucking looks like she was probably just smoking a cigarette. And she's like, okay, we're about to do it. And she just fucking flicks it and go, okay, go.
She's sitting in the park. She's sitting on a lawn chair, smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer. And they're like, all right, Sherry, you ready? Yeah, hit the fucking red light. Let's do this shit. And she just lets it fly. Now, yeah. Doc wasn't on this. Doc told me, he said, I'm trying to figure out if Sherry was drunk during this promo. I'm like, no, she's not drunk. She's just a pro. She knows what she's doing. And he's like, okay. But she's amped, dude. And she, God, she can't wait to get a hold of Tammy.
Yes.
Good God, she's going to put her in a meat grinder.
I want to see this more than a fucking Steiners, to be honest.
They show it. They show not the whole thing, but they show good clips of it. You'll see it on the TV, on the episodes. It'll be shown. Don't worry. You won't miss this. This was good, though. I can't wait to see Sherry come in. I really can't. Good stuff there. Harper, anything else from this?
Uh-uh.
All right, so then they go then to a promo. Bobby Blaze is out there with Dutch, and now that I'm looking at it as I'm about to play with you, with your play the promo, I'm watching Dutch in this tuxedo. Now you got me focusing on this. He's got these, you know what it is, Harper? His hair is completely brushed.
Yeah.
His beard is brushed. He's got these goofy looking glasses on. That's the other part, and he's got the white gloves on. Because
like
he's
a guy. Like, you know, when those fancy weddings.
Yes.
In Orleans, when they got.
Yes.
That's what it looks like.
Yes.
The guy sitting on top of the fucking carriage with the whip. Fucking hat on.
The only thing he's missing is a top hat. Because this tuxedo has tails. Jesus Christ. If that doesn't scream fucking schmuck and stupidity, I don't know what does.
Like the fucking the Monopoly guy.
Yeah, that dude. Fuck that dude. Oh, boy. All right, we'll keep going. So this is Dutch. He's got Bobby Blaze out there, and Bobby Blaze has a new title around his waist. Let's hear what's going on.
Joining me here at ringside here, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Bobby Blaze. And Bobby, I just have to ask you, what the hell are you doing with that belt? What is that?
This is the U.S. Junior Heavyweight Championship belt, Dutch.
Well, where did it come from?
They had a big tournament in Columbus, Ohio, Big Time Championship Wrestling, had a tournament, invited talent from all over the country, and you know I've been doing real good here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling and getting a lot of recognition, and they invited me up, and I put my mind to it, put my nose to the grind. They had a lot of top competition, Bobby and Jackie Fulton, a lot of other guys, and I went up there, and I won this belt right here, the U.S. Junior U.S. Championship.
So you are right now the reigning United States Junior Heavyweight Champion, and you won it in a tournament. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct, Dutch. I won this in a tournament, and I want everyone to know, not only am I going to be defending this title in Smoky Mountain, but...
Wait a minute, we're joined here by the Suicide Blonde, Chris Candido.
Hold on a second. You're going to be defending your title where? In Smoky Mountain Wrestling? Dutch, are you telling me Smoky Mountain Wrestling is going to recognize that ugly piece of junk over my beautiful World Heavyweight Championship belt? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Is that what you're trying to say?
Not only am I going to defend it here, I'm going to defend it all over the United States of America with pride.
All right, hold on a second. I know about all the people that you beat for that belt in that tournament. Bobby and Jackie Fulton, Jushin Liger, J.R. Benson, all those great people. Yeah, I know about that. But nobody ever asked me about the people I beat for my belt. Hey, you know what? You think you're some great champion? You want a shot at the real world champion, huh? You want a title shot against my belt?
No.
What? What are you talking about? No! Look at my belt compared to that ugly piece of garbage. What are you talking about? No! Are you out of your mind?
You're saying you don't want a shot at the WWA heavyweight title?
No, Dutch. If you took that belt right there with an old aluminum can from the side of the road, you might be able to get 39 cents down at the recycling center.
Go ahead, Bobby.
You're talking about the championship of the world.
No, you don't want to... Hey, don't start crying and don't get all hot on me. Listen. I'm defending this not only in Smoky Mountain, but all over the USA. All you have to do is sign a contract, and I'll defend my belt against you.
Yeah, I'll sign that contract, not because I want to win that piece of garbage, just so I can take it and I can throw it in the river just where it belongs. I'll sign that contract.
All right, fans, you heard it right here. A little controversy development. Let's go to the ring right now.
What, Dutch?
That was excellent.
Yeah, that was good.
Let me conference Doc in. He just said he's on. So let me conference him in, and then we'll see what notes he has from it too. So hold on 1 second, everybody.
Hi. Hi.
Hey. So real quick, man, we just watched the. You're gonna say, damn, that's all y'all got through. Harper and I.
Come on, piss.
Go piss, and I'll catch. This is the recorder's running. Harper's got to piss. I just conferenced Doc in, who, as you heard earlier in the show, has been puking and not feeling good, but he said he's on, so I called him. So we just got done with the Bobby Blaze and Chris Candido promo, where Bobby has won the U.S. Junior Heavyweight belt from Big Time Wrestling in Ohio, and he talks about Bobby and Jackie, and then Candido interrupts him, and that's when Bobby starts throwing out the lines about, you know, being able to get 39 cents for that belt at a recycling center. So that's where we're at, Doc. First off, how you feeling?
I'm fine. You told me that we were going to do New Orleans demographics this week, so I went down there to count all the black people, and it's taken a while.
That's real nice. You're an asshole. Fuck you.
Man, Bobby Blaze took a shit on that Candido belt, huh?
That was a great promo by Bobby. When he threw that line out, I just popped as I finished it off before we conferenced you in. And he said about the 39 cents for that belt at the recycling center. I thought that was great.
So I hope y'all talked about the fact that Sherry Martel is going to fuck Sonny up.
Bro, we just got done talking about Sherry getting her. I think Harper said something about Harper. What did you say about Sherry being a mean old bitch? Well, no. Harper said Sherry looks like, bro, we said so much about it. Sherry looks like she was sitting there smoking a cigarette, and they said, "All right, let's get this promo going." She
flips
the cigarette out of her.
Flips the cigarette. It's like, okay, let's fucking do this shit.
That's exactly right. That old broad was tougher than shoe leather, man.
Boy, you ain't lying. With all due respect, because we know she's deceased, but god damn, that was, I love that promo. But anyway, so we did talk about that. Did you have anything you wanted to add before we talk about Bobby here?
No.
Okay, how's your stomach feeling?
We'll see how this goes.
Okay. If you got a puke,
or just do it on the air and keep going.
Oh, God, don't do that. Jesus Christ.
Can't do it, man. Fuck.
All right. So, Harper, your thoughts on Bobby's promo where he throws that line out about the 39 cents for the belt at the recycling center?
I like when he says, when Dutch is like, what the fuck you doing with that thing? Like, it's like, it's like, how are you a champion? Fucking anywhere.
That's true.
Yeah. He goes, what the hell are you doing with that belt?
I thought it said big tournament. I thought that might be code word for I blew the booker to get this belt.
Wow.
What?
By the time this airs, I think I would have aired the segment that Bobby Blaze did with me, where we briefly talked about this belt and how it all came to be and all that good stuff. So it'll be out there at some point. But anyway, so he and I talked about the Candido feud. But go ahead, Harper.
And when he brings up getting the 39 cents from a recycling facility, they fucking pop because they know exactly what the fuck he's talking about. Because you know these motherfuckers are can hunters off the side of the fucking highway.
Took their cans of Tim Horner Mellow Yellow down to the recycling.
Dude. So, that's just wrong. Doc, what you got? Anything else?
No, I mean.
Okay.
Candido's got it, is just messing with everybody. I love it.
Yeah. Real quick. So we didn't do demographics since you weren't on at the beginning. But so Harper, in the middle of me opening the show, gets a business phone call. He's like, bro, I got to take this phone call. So I quickly Google Oakwood, Virginia, where this is coming from.
It's not even a real town.
Right. It's an unincorporated area in Buchanan County, Virginia. But then I keep reading, and the Appalachian College of Pharmacy in Oakwood is on the campus of what was formerly known as Garden High School, where we're shooting this from. That kind of popped me. I was like, wow, okay. And then Harper made some jokes about meth being concocted there.
But how shitty is your town if you can't keep a high school in business?
Oh, damn. Come on.
That's
Doc.
True, huh?
Well, now it's got a college on it now. It's
to
an
make
Appalachian
meth.
College of Pharmacy.
Right.
I mean, where'd that population go? That it got so low where they had to shut down a fucking high school.
Right.
I mean, we had fucking Katrina. I mean, what's their excuse?
I would say their excuse is generational after generational extreme poverty and maybe blowing themselves up in the down by the moonshine still.
So, Doc, what we'll do is next week's episode, I want you, since you just made that statement, to give the demographics that you found about where I'm from so people can say at least we're being fair, finally.
Oh, it's super fair, dude. Okay. And it's, I don't know why you always have to go back to where you're from. It's where you stay at now. Is that what you people say, stay at?
No, I thought you were going to do New Orleans, not where I live now. I don't want you saying where I live now. I mean, you're basically telling people where I'm living.
Harper told people he lived in Metairie.
That's his problem, not mine.
Okay.
Where do you live?
Hey Harper, we got it. I did get a note from somebody on the Facebook page. I need. Can I give out your address? He wants to send you a Tim Horner can.
I'll take that.
Okay, so I'll give him your address. He's got a Tim Horner Mellow Yellow can, and he's got a Ron Garvin
that's
one.
Bad. That's bad.
Yeah, that's some badass shit. Yes. I figured that. So I'll get him to send it to you. I'll give him your address if that's cool.
All right.
Because I'm kind of in between P.O. boxes right now.
You can use it for a dip cup.
Well, we'll keep going. So nothing else from Bobby Blaze and Chris Candido there. I thought that was good. The next thing up is the Beat the Champ TV title match. Robert Gibson versus Jimmy Del Rey. I'm going to keep this short. I said this a long time ago on one of the Smoky Mountain shows. I think it's always good when the baby faces pull a fast one on the heels. And when the face one-ups the heels by cheating, because psychologically, I think it makes you more of a face because it shows you outsmarted that fucking heel that we all hate and gave the heel a taste of their own medicine. All that said, Ricky and Robert, they hit the double drop kick on Jimmy Del Rey, and Robert Gibson then covers and pins Del Rey, and he's now a first-time Beat the Champ TV title champion. So not only do they have the tag belts, but Gibson is also a singles champ too, as Beat the Champ title champion. Doc, you have anything from that?
Man, the only thing worse than doing a poon salt is missing the poon salt.
I know, bro.
That I just don't know that I would want to jump like that and know that I'm not going to land on anything except the mat. It's rough. I liked in the middle of the match Corny threatening to fire Mark Curtis. And I hope y'all have talked about the fact, and I'm sure you have, that Dutch and Corny are just best buddies again.
Oh, they're blowing each other.
Right.
Yeah, no,
And well, I sure yeah. love Dutch's get-up to celebrate the event.
We just had a long discussion about that, Harper and I. That
Those glasses he's wearing are just weird-looking, too.
God, it was like your telepathy. We talked about the glasses. We talked about the gloves. We talked about the tuxedo tails. And
where he got it from.
Yeah. So at the end, Harper points out, because I didn't even look, I didn't even see it. I didn't keep playing until the very end. The tuxedo came from Mitchell's Formal Wear, which is basically a corporation. It's a chain formal wear type place. And so Harper was thinking, maybe he got it from somewhere, some cheap fucking place, or it was like satire, like it was just trying to be funny. But no, that's actually a tuxedo from Mitchell's. So we talked about it. Good
they
stuff.
Take it back. It's like, what is this smell in there?
Why does it smell like Red Man?
Why does it smell like rats?
Red Man and Badussi. Can you imagine the stench coming from that thing?
God.
Why does this smell like a poncho?
Jesus Christ. Oh, ma'am, I don't know, ma'am. I didn't do anything. I just wore it. You know, if I told
but,
you.
But back to the match. I mean, these two guys are solid pros. This is a good match. These two guys like this that have worked together, tag team, they had a good match. And like you said, babyface shenanigans.
Yeah, babyface shenanigans. We'll keep going. After the match, though, if you remember when we – who was it? Earlier in the episode, when we were talking about the whole Steiners thing, at the end of that whole series of Steiners and Heavenly Bodies promos and all that went down, Dirty White Boy was looking for Ron Wright.
Mm.
So Ron Wright's been missing, and if you recall, Dirty White Boy was trying to find Ron Wright, and Corny said, we'll go to commercial, so Dirty White Boy's still been looking for him. With that said, let's hear from Dirty White Boy now in his own segment with Dutch, as I'm looking at Dutch with these glasses and gloves, and he's looking very dapper, I must say. Let's hear from Dutch and Dirty White Boy.
Okay, fans, joining me here at the broadcast booth here at Smoky Mountain, none other than the Dirty White Boy. And what I'd like to ask you right now is, what's going on in the life of the Dirty White Boy for all the fans out there?
Well, what's going on in my life right now is I cannot find Ron Wright. I don't know where he's at. He's been missing for 3 days. I don't even know if he's got his pills. He could be laying a ditch dead someplace. You know, the man's an invalid. I have no idea where Ron is. And Dutch, do you know?
I have not seen Ron Wright, but if I had, I would certainly let you know if I'd seen him.
Well, I know
you're concerned about him, in other words.
Yes, I'm very concerned. I haven't seen the man in 3 days. He always calls me every day. I always make sure he's got his medicine, and I'm just worried about the man. I don't know where he is, what's going on with him, or anything. You know what? Where the hell has he been?
You know, lately, Brian and I have been a little worried about Ronnie living all by himself. So the two of us have decided to let him move in with us so he can get all of his medication on time and he can get his neck rubs when he needs them and we can take good care of him.
So you're saying you're taking care of Mr. Wright? Is it?
That's right. We're taking perfectly good care
of him. That's exactly what we're saying, Dutch. And White Boy, you don't worry about the $20,000. You don't worry about Ron, because the next time I step in the ring with Tracy Smothers, I'm taking him out once and for all. And Sherry Martel, you're not going to make any difference because you'll never get to my manager.
Brian, please don't let her near me because she'll give me, like, cooties or some other disease or something.
Honey, have I ever let you down?
No. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Ronnie, it's time for your pill. Let's go, okay?
We got to go.
Okay. All right. Now you know where he is, White Boy. Any final comments? Obviously.
I don't like this one bit.
Okay, fans, that's it right now. Next week, the Steiners versus the Heavenly Bodies from SummerSlam. More on the Dirty White Boy, Lee and Tammy Fitch, and a Beat the Champ, new champion next week, Robert Gibson. We'll see you next week.
I know where this goes in. Oh, Jesus. It's great. But I'll throw it to Doc. Your thoughts on what we're seeing here.
I wonder if she's balancing that pill he's going to take on her clit.
What?
Wow.
What's neck rub? What's neck rub code for?
Wow.
Digital relief?
I've got no words. The Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast is
I'm here.
Unprofessional.
I'm late, but I'm here, pal. This is awesome because no matter how much Ron is Dirty White Boy's idol and they've been chums, there's no way. This makes perfect sense. You can wrap your head around this even if you're a simpleton from the South. There ain't no way you're sticking with Dirty White Boy if Tammy's over there flashing the goods.
Oh, yeah, 100% agree there.
Yeah.
I mean, how I'd stick a shiv in both your ribs to have a 30-minute romp with her.
Wow. Jesus Christ. Is Harper's phone... Is that your phone ringing to answer or a text message?
Fuck it.
Okay.
They can wait.
Fuck them, huh? Harper, what did you have from this?
Bro, fucking... They basically stole Ron White with like hand jobs.
This is nothing compared to what's coming. That's the
really,
bruh. Yes, what the hell?
Hey.
I'm not gonna use Stone Cold's line. Everybody owing people beers.
Now you owe everybody an IPA.
What? That's torture. That's not a gift.
And that's what you think about his, Brian Lee growing that beard out.
I think, isn't that so that he can go be the fake Undertaker in WWF?
No.
When does he go do that?
No, he doesn't do it this early.
Oh.
Does he?
No, I think that's like, that's like a year away.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was longer than that. Shit.
It could be.
I just think he, that's far out. Nah, he does
it's
that.
It's like 2 years away. Something like that.
93, man. He does that much later.
Well, he looks a little more dirtbag with that.
He looks like a fucking douche, and that's perfect. Perfect. Okay. Anything else, Doc, from this?
Uh-uh. I'm worried. I'm worried about this because I feel bad for the Dirty White Boy. I'm worried about Ron. This is not a good situation for him. And I'm concerned just like the Dirty White Boy is.
Yeah, this is some crazy stuff because I mean, there's just so much going on here. They really introduce a bunch of stuff into the storylines this week, if you ask me. There's, you know, the whole thing with the Steiners. Now Corny's commissioner. You got Dirty White
Gator
Boy.
Gator McAllister.
Yeah, the enhancement talent Gator McAllister. You got Sherry Martel. Whole lots of stuff. There's a lot going on in this episode that
Funk.
We're about to. What?
Funk. Not introduced, but Funk was out there wrestling.
Funk was wrestling, and Funk thanks the good Lord for giving him the strength to do what he did as he cheated Bob Armstrong and hit him in the back of the head with a Brandon iron. Harper and I talked about that before Doc came on. Lots of good stuff here. So craziness. But we got to give out disability checks. Before we do so, I want to say use our Amazon referral link, please. tinyurl.com/beatstheamazon. Great way to support the show. You know, if you use it every single time, it doesn't cost you anything extra. So if you're already purchasing something from Amazon, use the link. Again, tinyurl.com/beatstheamazon. Go buy Bobby Blaze's books where he talks a lot in Pin Me, Pay Me about Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I think you would enjoy it. Anything else, too, that you could buy or get from Amazon, please use the link. Give it to the wives, girlfriends, anybody in your family who uses Amazon. Give it to the side pieces if you're a dude out there and you've got, you know, abroad here and abroad there. Just say, hey, these guys are very unprofessional, and use their Amazon referral link, tinyurl.com.
And so are you for being a side piece, so use it.
There you go. Disability checks. I feel like I should go first, and I'm going to go first because I think it's going to piss Doc off, which I'm fine with. And I think people out there are going to be like, that's too high. I am giving this a 9.25. And the reason I'm giving it a 9.25 is by now we're an hour and a half into this thing. This episode introduced a lot. Cornette's the commissioner. Bob Cottle got the boot. Where's poor old Bob Cottle? Bullet Bob and Terry Funk, and we got the fallout from that. We saw a little bit of what happened. You got the Steiner brothers, and we've got the challenge with the Steiners and the Heavenly Bodies going on. Sherry Martel, where does it end? The Bruise brothers have been put on notice. Lots going on. Ron Wright appears to be getting some stank put on his down, or he's getting some stank put on his down low. This is a lot going on. So 9.25, Doc, what are you giving it?
Yeah.
Ooh, imagine if he'd have puked right there.
I thought it could happen. Actually, I was waiting to see. Uh-huh. You're a little high there.
See, you're an asshole.
I said what? I just said a little high.
Okay, what'd you get?
We're not radically in different worlds here, because this is a great episode, dude. We're in it now, man. This Federation is fun as fuck. I mean, it's just awesome now. It's been great before, but we're in the middle of it. 8.7.
You're an idiot, Harper. What'd you give yours?
I was gonna give it a 9.5.
Thank you, Harper.
I mean, business is fucking heating up, dude. Like you said, they get the Steiner brothers. We saw fucking Terry Funk shoot a fucking great promo. You got, what's that? Sensational Sherry is fucking coming in. You know, you got the Ron White's and him and Dirty White Boys deal. Where's that going to go?
Yep.
And you feel with the Armstrongs and fucking rock and roll, something's going to happen there.
Here's another thing, Harper, that I didn't say. Tim Horner came out and didn't do something bad.
Yeah.
God, he actually used his brain to defeat Candido.
Yeah.
Mm.
So there you go. So I gave it a 9.25. Doc gave it an 8.7. Harper gave it a 9.5. Some really fantastic stuff on this episode. Really, really good stuff.
If you don't like this episode, though, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It didn't have that shocking moment like, you know, Sullivan filleting Connie Mora.
I don't know, man. Sherry showing up was pretty awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like slicing a man's
arm. Well,
you can't
cut a man's arm off every week.
Right. Nor can you be the master and show up and butcher primetime Brian Lee. So when I say it doesn't have that shocking moment, it doesn't have that, but it had solid, fluid stuff throughout it, which is what I really liked. And if you'd like more unprofessionalism, go to our patron link. It's tinyurl.com/BTPatron. For as little as $2 a month, you can get access to all of the patron content, which is the world-class shows, which is pre-show banter. Doc, I don't know if you know this, but about 3-4 weeks ago, I put our pre-show 10 minutes of banter up before we did the NWA show from December the 6th, 1986. And I've gotten a little bit of feedback online, and people seem to enjoy the pre-show banter that we had that weekend.
People love us. That's just it.
Dude, we talked about the blinds that my wife, like, worked herself into a shoot over that really don't cost any money, but she's still pissed off about the blinds as we record this March 23rd, 2018. Because now it's going to be, from what I was told, 2 more weeks before they can come out and install these blinds. And these blinds were supposed to be installed 3 weeks ago now, I think. So there you go. Just worked herself into a shoot. So we talked about that pre-show, and it was very unprofessional. So if you like unprofessionality, if that's a word, become a patron. tinyurl.com/BTPatron. Right now, there's about 55 patron-only shows available for you to enjoy. Okay, Doc, let's do our Government Cheese Awards. Named by longtime member Shard Johnson. Doc, who are you giving your Government Cheese to?
Well, he's all over the place. He's the new commissioner, Jim Cornette.
Wow. I can't say I'm shocked, but that's a tough one in a way, because there's so much going on. Harper, yeah. Who are you giving yours to?
You know what? I'm going to give it to fucking Terry Funk for that fucking promo.
When he saying, thank God.
Saying fucking Bob has the brain of a jackass.
And he thanked God for being able to assault a man with a branding iron. Jesus.
All things are possible through Christ.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw a curveball. I'm gonna give it to Sherry.
Yeah.
I thought you would give it to Dutch.
Let me tell you something. I truly believe there's 4 different people you could give it to here, and no one could argue with you. You could give it to Dutch because of just how stupid he looks. You could give it to Sherry because she flicked her cigarette and was like, ah, fuck, let me cut this promo shit. And then Cornette is commissioner, and God, it just hit me who Sherry Martel sounds a little bit like.
Oh, no. I know what you mean when you said it just hit you. It just hit me.
Navy at work.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Sherry is not as repulsive.
She sounds like she's from St. Bernard.
Dude, she does. She sounds like one of those broads from...
Wasn't she born in like Alabama or something? So she's from... Yeah. You know,
and she was living in Louisiana when she passed away, I believe.
Yeah.
I think she lived there for a long time. I could be wrong, man. I want to say... Where is she? Well, she billed herself from New Orleans.
Right.
No. She was living in Alabama. She was, well, no, I mean, I am from there, but she was living in Alabama when she passed away. God, how old do you think Sherry was when she passed away, Doc, without Googling it?
44.
Harper, what do you think?
Well, I already Googled it, so yeah, she was in her late 40s.
49 years old. Jesus, that's not old, man.
That's how old Dick Murdoch was.
Yeah. What was she taking, did you say,
Harper? Yeah.
Just
everything.
It. That's not nice, Doc. Leave it alone. Okay.
I'm just curious.
Okay, so this is Wikipedia.
Well, the homicide investigators in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, revealed the toxicology report stating that she died of an overdose with multiple drugs in her system, including high amounts of oxy.
Yeah, oxycodone. She was 49, though. But going back to what I was saying, you could give it to Sherry, you could give it to Corny, you can give it to Terry Funk. This was a really good episode, 9.5, and that's that. Doc, we're going to have to get out of here in a second, man. I want to thank first the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with Brian Malonis, ROH star, Mike Crockett. Check them out on Mondays. Just search WPAN or Wrestling Podcast About Nothing to get their shows. Doc, you got anything before we get out of here? Wow.
Let's go, pal.
You're going to puke on the next one.
I probably am.
Harper, before you do that, I want to thank the Hall of Fame patrons before you close the show for us. Frog Zeppelin at R Smith 9000 at 945 Sports Beat, aka Big Rich, Jesse Lucas, Joe Ice at MPRU83, LS, Ari Miller 39, Justin _ Andretti at J Shiny 21, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider 91 US, Shep Daddy 32, USC 49er Dodger, Gerald Green III, T Hog 94, SV Padron, Martin House 71, Tim Origi, Coleman 822, Gobbled Unreal, Unconvinced Ray, who Unconvinced Ray, thank you for sticking up for us in our unprofessionality, man. I appreciate you chiming in. He was one of the many ones who said, keep it unprofessional, actually make it worse. So he's telling us to make it even worse, Doc.
I don't know how we could do that.
I don't know either. Yeah, it would be very hard. Thin Man Within, remember, he came up with the Tim Horner Award. I'm being dead serious here when I say this. Would anyone get the Tim Horner Award? I don't think it's possible in this episode.
Gator McAllister's haircut.
No.
I Googled Marsh Island, and it's a real place. I thought they just made it up.
I thought you were going to say you Urban Dictionaried Marsh Island.
No.
What would come up? I don't think it, you know, shout out to Mark at Thin Man Within. But no one gets the Tim Horner Award this week. No one. Which is good. Doc's stomach does. That said, Harper, give us a 5-star. Well, everybody give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and Harper, hit the tagline. That way we can go do the next episode.
Book it, bitch.